to episode number one of Dreams of Future Past. This is a podcast about retrofuturism. And for those of you that don't know, that's the history of the future. So we'll be talking about what people dreamed about the future would be like. And through that, we're going to have a lot of fun talking about concept cars, sci-fi films, technology, and have a chance to talk about, so what actually came true? What never did? Where were they off? And why was that?
Yeah, I'm excited about this.
Excellent.
This is going to be fun.
Excellent. And so
I'm digging it.
You've heard myself. You just heard Greg. So we'll do a little introductions here. I'm McKay.
You're McKay Featherstone.
Exactly.
Yes, that's your name.
And I love retrofuturism. I get to do a
really?
Little of this for my actual day job.
Are you into this?
I'm into this. So
okay.
I do work around innovation and product management.
That's true. That's
you got to know some things about technology. And
all
about
of the
people.
Things you work with are smooth and streamlined.
So that's right. I have done a lot of those smooth, which we'll talk about. Streamlining and jet age and all kinds of cool stuff like that.
All that good stuff.
And so for me, this is a lot of fun because it helps you predict, well, what will the future be like for all of us?
I'm excited about it. And you've done the work.
You got to do the work.
I've seen you doing the work, and you've done the work, and there's a lot of work up here, and I like it.
It's going to be fun, and we're going to have, so for our podcast, we're going to get to describe things to everyone about cool design and graphics and automotive styling, and you'll get to follow along.
Retro future.
So
I like it.
I'm McKay. Greg, who are you?
I'm Greg Enslin. I do a lot of stuff, and mostly the newspaper here in my town, and I have a podcasting company, so you asked me to sit in, and I'm excited to co-host along with Ian.
Yeah, hi guys.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Who are you?
I'm Ian Spencer.
Yes, you are.
And I'm just your kind of local techie nerd. I like to kind of hang out with you guys.
You're the comic relief on this episode.
Yes.
You're going to be the funny one. No pressure. I'll be the funny one.
You're the funny guy?
You'll be the techie.
I'm the straight man?
You'll be the geeky guy.
Okay.
I like that.
Yeah, and Ian's done some cool stuff. He's built robots.
Yes, he has.
Professionally restored British cars.
He knows people that have hovercraft, I think.
Mm. Yeah.
Like you've been there.
Race hovercraft.
Yeah, see that? Yeah. I think you're making that up. That's not a real thing, is it?
Yes.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay, we got to do an episode on that.
Exactly. Here we are. We already have another episode idea on hovercraft. Are they the future?
That's a great one.
No.
Yeah.
They're not the future. But there's a giant
Greg, a giant
Russian one I've seen that's like they move tanks on it, and I'm like, good Lord. So what inspired you to like think up this show? You just want to do?
Yeah, I mean, this is an area of passion. I know you guys all enjoy this as well. So
yes, absolutely.
I hope we have a lot of fun talking things through and exploring the dreams of future past.
I like that.
Exactly. So today, we're going to start off. Our first episode is going to be about Epcot, but it's not the Epcot you might be thinking of. So, of course, at Disney World in Florida, there is an Epcot, which is really a theme park.
Epcot Center.
Yeah.
When did that open?
1982 is when it opened. Yeah. So that's what people know. It's been around for a long time, but the original vision for Epcot was not a theme park. It was actually a city.
Really? I didn't know that.
So
Epcot, was that Walt Disney?
This is Disney. He's the man.
Was he off in his corner thinking this stuff up somewhere?
Oh, yeah. He's a dreamer, like a lot of the folks we're going to talk about.
He's a dreamer.
That's right. So, yeah, Epcot stands for the Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow. Not many people know that,
but that was the original vision.
So not a theme park, an experimental prototype community of tomorrow.
So it was not supposed to start out with a bunch of rides and stuff, and it was going to be more like a test.
This was a real city.
People were going to live there. Like real people
were
going to live there.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. So maybe let's paint a little picture here together. So in Walt's original vision, which was part of Disney World. So when he was envisioning this huge tract of land of Florida, what are we going to do with this? There was a city, not just theme parks involved here. But if you can kind of picture a large radius of, you know, kind of circular, and right in the center, you've got the tall, high-rise skyscrapers, lots of cool shuttles. We'll talk about that.
Sweet.
Monorails and things traveling around to the outskirts radially. Then you've got where people live. You've got manufacturing. And really, they were designing an entire city all at once for people to live in.
Okay, cool. I like that. So that was the initial concept. And then why did it change? Are you there yet? You're not there yet.
Keep going. Don't jump ahead.
So the conceptual plan was for that. And then did they invite people to come live there? They didn't get that far down the road.
They didn't
make it that far.
Yeah,
how far did they get? on the actual town concept of Epcot?
That's a good question. They were actually developing, or not developing land, but they had started buying all that land. So all right. the land they purchased, all that swamp land, was for this city.
Yeah, just south of the parks that we all know today was this large tract of land that was going to be dedicated for...
Huge tracts of land.
Huge
tracts. Just huge tracts of land. Yeah.
Welcome to the Downtown Lowdown, brought to you by the Downtown Tip City Partnership. I'm your host, Tasha Weaver, Executive Director of the Downtown Tip City Partnership. Each episode, I'll share what's happening downtown and introduce you to the people, stories, and energy behind it all. Be sure to subscribe where you listen to your podcast and turn those notifications on so you'll be in the know.
Exactly. And that was going to be this a city of the future, literally. This was to be the city of the future. And I love that it was intentionally meant as a prototype, an experimental. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the history of cities of the future, you find examples of architects really wanting to design the entire, everything that was in your daily life. Mm-hmm. Where are you going to shop? Where are you going to work? Where are you going to live? And through that history, though, there was quite a bit, I would say, there was actually some arrogance of architects believing that they could design your entire life.
Yeah,
and
from the ground up.
Things would go off the rail. But Disney, you know, Walt's vision a little bit different. It was experimental. It was prototype. He knew it was going to have to change and evolve because he recognized that that's an amazingly huge design challenge. As a quick background before that, this idea of the city of the future, it wasn't new when all this was happening. So we're talking about 1960s here, mm-hmm. when Epcot was being envisioned. But prior to that, you go back to the 30s and the 40s. There's movements called the Bauhaus movement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Greg, you know the Bauhaus movement?
I do.
But yeah. And so those architects actually were dreaming of new cities. Everything's clean and modern and simple. And they actually built some of them, but they really, some, if you fast forward to today and what worked and didn't from them, they were really devoid of a lot of the life and kind of the organic growth that you get in a city.
Right.
And ended up being fairly kind of clinical and I would say even dead feeling overall. Mm-hmm. But at this time, people didn't know that. So they were just dreaming about what the future would be like. And Walt stepped in and... As Ian said, you know, they got pretty far with this thing. They had
right.
a full concept built out. They had hired architects and city planners and experts to come together to really build this thing out.
So that kind of, I've always wondered about Disney World and why they have their own fire department and police department and like utilities. Like they run their own utilities and they had their own like it's like a city. And you're like, huh, now that makes sense because they were setting up for that.
It was definitely the direction they're headed, and I think the park would have kind of played into some of this.
Mm-hmm. Like a side thing.
But I think his ultimate vision would have been to have these hubs, like mm-hmm. McKay described, which would be the city, and he was even going to have a dome built
right.
over top of these.
That's cool. That's like in Logan's Run.
I think
like
it was
that.
About every... It's exactly
yeah,
like Logan's
that's what
Run.
It reminds me of, because when was Logan's mm-hmm. Run? 70...
It would have been in the 70s after this, but yeah, that is the picture.
That's what it feels like, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great way to picture this, and they would have been about 2 miles apart.
And the tubes that they would take around and all that.
These identical hubs every 2 miles.
Oh, really?
All connected.
And they're connected.
So there'd be a central road connecting them all together.
Yeah, because I believe each of these kind of the hubs you're referring to, there was about 20,000 people is what they were envisioning.
In each
one? That was
the
capacity in each
one.
Wow. That was also part of the challenge, though, is you would have space and things built out for 20,000 people, and if you needed to grow, you couldn't just extend the street or put a new subdivision. You actually had, all right, now we're going to duplicate this, and here's another 20,000, another 20,000. So it really had to all be planned out in advance.
And that's the opposite of the way cities built are built now and grow over time. You just build another road on the outskirt
yes.
and add 10 more houses instead mm-hmm. of this. This sounds more like
contained, very contained.
Yeah, very contained and very, like, almost clinical, like you said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No cars. It was all... So when you go to Disney World today, you see the monorails.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the monorails would have been part of this. They mm-hmm. were actually... Now, correct me on that. Were the monorails designed for the city, or was that something that...
I think if you go back before that... So Disneyland, of course, was before Disney World, and Disneyland mm-hmm. had those monorails. but there was a company that Walt founded, I believe.
WED Enterprises.
WED Enterprises. Yeah. So Ian, tell us about WED Enterprises, and let's talk about the transportation in this experimental city.
Yeah. So the WED Enterprises was the design team that Walt put together to design the park, essentially do all the initial design, and they developed these what they call people movers, which are these little pods. So the monorail would be part of the structure of the city,
right?
But people would take these WED people movers in and out of town, essentially, to get home. So almost like a subway system, but these hubs would have these people movers going in and out, and they were constantly running. And you can see those things today at the park. They call them the WEDway people movers.
Yeah, so if you've ever been, I think, Tomorrowland?
Tomorrowland.
Yeah, it's in Tomorrowland.
Yeah, and of course, and today, that's a great, I've always said, having a chance with my family to go there, it's a way to, you know, take a break and, you know, relax and those sorts of things. But this was the main people moving transportation hub. WED is, as Ian said, actually stood for his initials. So Walt, I think Elias Disney is what that stood for. And later on, this WED Enterprises became what we know today as Disney Imagineering. This vision of the future, how he approached this, the fact that he created his own engineering company that absolutely exists today and is vibrant.
It's crazy. You know,
this idea of people movers has changed a little bit. But because if you think about that people mover, it was all done at the same speed. So there's a track, there's these little pods and cool people movers, but you couldn't speed, right? You're stuck in with a bunch of other pods. If you're late for work that day, sorry, that's what's going to happen. So it, think about these kind of rigid systems that didn't have a lot of flexibility in it. And so other than, you know, a nice break on a Walt Disney property, I don't think I've seen anything like that actually come to fruition.
So you've got a cool picture here. Is that what the original vision of it was supposed to look like? Is that with that tall, the tall structures in the middle and then these circular like roads around it? And I guess those aren't roads. Those are probably the people movers.
Yeah. So as Ian said, which I love, the vision here is no cars in your city. So what looks like roads, those are the people movers, just like you said, fanning out radially from this really dense kind of urban core. The thing that I think is fascinating, though, is cities have now gone that direction. So fast forward to today, and you see more and more, both in the U.S. and in Europe, more and more countries that are shutting down streets and turning them back into places that people can walk, and fewer cars actually in the city. So he was way ahead of his time with this because both from eliminating cars, but the other thing he did is he moved them underground. So in this vision, it wasn't just these people movers and monorails up on the surface, but cars and transportation and trucking was all being done through tunnels underground. And so they really recognized that cars were a negative. They detracted from your daily life in the city, but at the same time, it was a necessity.
Right.
You still needed a car, you still needed trucking and ways to move these things around. So they just, in their vision, moved it all underground.
So in this picture, way back here in the background, there's another
That would be another
city.
One.
So that's the that's the next one over.
It'd be the next city over.
That is cool. And they're connected by, so they're at different speeds. The people movers go slow, and then there's like faster monorails that connect the cities themselves.
Exactly. Trains between the cities. Okay. And some of this has happened. So if we think about their vision and what's come to pass, you know, the idea of underground tunnels and transportation, of course, there's the Boring Company.
Right.
Greg, and not boring as in this is really boring.
It is not boring.
Lost my interest. But
it's the opposite of boring.
Yeah, you're boring a tunnel underground. Have any of you guys actually been to Vegas and been in the tunnel that they built?
Not since they opened it. Have you been in it?
No.
I haven't. Yeah, I really want to go. Road trip.
There you go.
This podcast is going on the road.
Yes. It's if you think about that idea coming to pass, though, it still seems pretty far-fetched.
Yeah.
So the only actual, I'd say, underground to true tunnel transportation system, I think they actually just use Model 3s and drive them back and forth.
Right now it is.
So it's more of a gimmick than it is an actual way of moving people around.
But the tunnels are real.
The tunnels are real.
And they just signed a deal to go to Louisville. So they're going to build which is the one with the Nashville? Is it Nashville?
Nashville's a thing.
It's either Nashville or Louisville.
Yeah, they get a lot of tourists there. And
They just signed a deal to do an underground system, tunnels that connects the whole town.
So I think I'm hearing maybe it still is the future, that mm-hmm. Walt's vision of the future still might come true with these mm-hmm. transportation systems.
So back to the original like design for the parks. It says here that they you've got a 50-story hotel, residential zones, green belts, and advanced transportation systems. So this, it's not designed as you go. It's designed as like a kit, really, and mm-hmm. then they drop it in and they set it all up, and then you wait for it to be full of people. And then once it's full enough, you spawn it off and make another one somewhere else.
I think the original design was this big, tall hotel in mm-hmm. the center. Mm-hmm. And then you had your business district.
Like around it?
Yeah, so mm-hmm. so you'd have all that around, and there were shopping and malls. And I think they had the concept of these shopping malls and stuff down mm-hmm. in there. And then the idea was to have another, the next layer around mm-hmm. was... I think it was going to be the...
like a green belt?
Well, they did have a green belt, mm-hmm. but it was like bringing in... They wanted to bring in companies to advance technology.
And yes. Epcot.
They really had this concept of bringing in companies that were looking forward into technology mm-hmm. and they wanted to invest in that. So they wanted to have this whole thing going on with this... what's the word I'm looking for?
Well, what is that thing they used to have with the... Where they would have like a big centennial celebration that have all the different businesses come in and show off all the latest gear? Well, they had one in New York and they had one in Chicago, like the World's Fair kind of thing.
But yeah, the Futuramas that...
Yeah, but it was like a technology-based one where they were like... Here's like the one in St. Louis. That's where you saw the elevator for the very first time. Mm. That kind of stuff. So this sounds like almost like a showcase for new tech.
That's exactly.
I think that's a good way to put it. And then they had the green space layer, mm-hmm. parks, and all of that. And then they had like they called them apartments or condos. It was this whole
more dense, maybe
more dense type living, mm-hmm. right? Then they moved out to communities mm-hmm. where there would be more neighborhoods and homes and things like that. So as it went out, it got more into your mm-hmm. suburbs, right. Let's say.
And then the walls around the city.
And then the dome.
Dome.
Don't forget the dome. That might be the most far-fetched piece of all this is a dome to cover a 50-story hotel and beyond.
Twice the size of Manhattan.
The vision was to create a perfect society.
Right.
That's what he wanted. He wanted this perfect society. So the weather had to be perfect, too.
Mm-hmm. And in the middle, you had carousel, and everybody over 30 had to die.
Yes, good reference there. Exactly. Yeah, I'll tell you what, though, no mosquitoes. I'd take a dome if there were no mosquitoes in Florida. That would be great.
I don't like the mosquitoes in Florida.
Greg, you said something, I think, really important earlier.
Oh, my God, you're going to have to be more specific.
So important. Yeah, there's so many things.
Yeah, I do. You're writing everything down that I say, so that's exciting.
So 20,000 people kind of all show up at the same time to fill this up. People have, over time have tried this, a planned city, mm-hmm. and we're going to design it, plan it, and fill it. And this is, I think, one of the fundamental flaws. You mm-hmm. can look at, in China, it's easy to go online, see there's, dead cities, abandoned projects. There's some in Malaysia as well. And now in the Middle East, they're trying to build these things. And it's really hard to get them to be critical mass. How do find 20,000 people that want to move to your brand new thing?
Even like the Dubai cities that they build off the coast that are designed to be like perfection, and they can't get people to move there. Again, I don't know if you can force people into this kind of like society.
Yeah. When you would ask Greg what happened, and so in this instance, the Epcot that we're talking about here, this mm-hmm. dream of the future, Walt passed away.
Right.
So right during this planning period, unfortunately, he passed away, and they had difficulty raising the funds to be able to do this without his vision and his leadership. And so really it was, they never got a chance to build out this vision, mm-hmm. but a lot of people have tried it, like you said, since then,
right.
and definitely fewer successes than there have been failures with this idea of the city of the future.
So back to the original land acquisition, 27,000 acres? Is that right?
Yeah.
That's insane.
And it was all done kind of
on the low down.
Mm. They created shell companies to go in and buy all this land, so it didn't look like Disney was trying to buy up all the land.
Right, exactly, because you don't want to max it out.
Well, and trying to keep the price where they wanted it.
Exactly. And then it says it's twice the size of Manhattan.
Yeah.
That can't be right. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, and the crazy thing, they were successful, right?
They did actually get the land.
They built all the land. And in fact, if you were to look at a map today of Disney World,
it's mostly empty.
The property, they could still do it
if they wanted to. They have places to build more parks if they wanted to build more parks.
They had started to irrigate all the land because it was all swampland.
Mm-hmm.
And they started to move the water out and...
Move some earth and as part of the foundational for this.
I think they even had.
Is it built where Epcot is? Is that where they started, or did they start it and then convert that into the park?
Somewhere I saw an image showing how there was a road basically connecting the city to where the park is now, and. It was a little further away.
There's actually going to be a whole airport that was on that same
That's right. There was an airport for
the city. So Epcot, as we know it today, basically became a theme park.
Right.
It really is almost like a World's Fair.
Right. And you were talking about like Ford is there and like Siemens and like IBM. And you're like, why are these gigantic corporate sponsors have these different rides at Epcot? Well, it's because that's Test Track. For Ford, but that's not their original concept. Was that they're here to show off their tech?
I'd say that piece, Walt was actually ahead of his time of understanding the role of these brands and corporations in daily life. So he was actually wanting to bring them in and be part of the storytelling. I got to believe back in the 60s, or even if he's dreaming about the 50s, brands were really just starting to become their own things.
Mm-hmm.
And you fast forward today, and absolutely, you're not surprised. You can go. Park your Porsche in a Porsche hotel. They've taken on that role in our society today. So he's way ahead of his time. Some of the other things that we have come to pass out of this, I would say, the idea that you can build out green space for people as part of the core design. Of course, that wasn't new at this time. You had Central Park. You had some visionaries in the past. But with urban planning today, I think really the really understanding of how important that is, and not just in one central location, but he had green space that was available to everyone. Because of this radial design, it was close to where everyone's homes were. And you see that today where people understand that people need to get out in nature. They need to connect with that, and it should be at their doorstep. They don't have to travel for it.
Yeah, now it's almost required. You know, when they build a big new development, that's one of the first questions I ask is how much green space? What's the percentage of green space? Where's the green space?
You know, some other things that came to pass, there are actually Disney communities today.
Yes.
So not a city as he envisioned it, but truly a Disney-planned and Disney-built community.
Yep.
But that's really all about... I'd say your love for Disney and the characters and
yeah, so that's Celebration, right?
I think there's actually more than one, but yeah. What do you tell us more?
Greg. Yeah, tell us about Celebration because I don't know a lot about that.
Yeah.
Is that so? When did that come around? 90s?
I want to say.
And what's the point of that? Was that like a planned community? Because I feel like they built it. You could buy houses there. When they were setting it up, I remember that.
Yeah, so maybe in terms of almost a housing subdivision as opposed to an entire city. And I know that some of those homes, they all have little details bringing the Disney brand to life. So there's some joy and some delight that goes along with that. Obviously, you're going to be living amongst people that
are into it.
Like
they're very, very into it, yes.
But still a much, much scaled back vision originally. It's like if you took one portion of one pod and just that little living area, that's what the Disney communities of today are. So still came to pass, but in a much scaled back vision.
Yeah, I remember when they were building this out, they were like showing off designs and stuff of like the central lake. And then this was like the business district down here. And then it's got the spokes that go out.
So that's a great point. It's not just housing. There's actually, as many modern communities are, they've actually planned out the business district, restaurants.
But that goes back to the thing you were talking about of like somebody wants to open a tattoo parlor in town, or somebody says, well, we really need a hardware store. Like those choices are made by the economy, you know? Like if a hardware store opens in Celebration and doesn't do well and it closes... You know, you can't mandate that there's a bike shop, even though it would look cute if there were a bike shop, you know. So again, like the top-down planning concept versus like what can the town actually, what do the people that live there want and what can it support?
Yeah, there's a dark side to all of this, to your point.
You
know, it's either kind
you're
of
gonna like
economics
this.
Or you've got local government, elected officials in your local government. They're going to help decide how to best grow that community versus something that's planned or, in this instance, actually a corporation that's running the entire town. Usually, as we all know from science fiction movies and other things, corporations...
It always goes well.
Let's have them... Yeah, the police force.
ED-209 comes in with the... Yeah. But it's got a little central area that points at the lake and, you know, Front Street, and it's got all the names, you know. It's very standard. Sycamore. I mean, Mulberry. I mean, it sounds like a town that was designed from scratch.
Yeah. So what do you think, Greg? So if you think about the original vision that Walt had for Epcot, is that a place you'd want to live or no?
No. But it looks like Mickey Mouse's head, sort of.
Wow, look at you, yeah.
Doesn't it, kind of?
No, it doesn't look anything. You, that
I think it does.
That's
a little bit.
How about you, Ian? Would you live in the experimental prototype community of tomorrow?
I'd want to check it out.
I would, too.
I would definitely want to check it out. You know, I'm not saying I wouldn't want to live there. I might. I'd want to... Verdict's out on that. I don't know. I'd want to see it.
I would. Yeah, I'd be curious to see how much of this layout... I mean, it does, if you look at Epcot from the air, it does have the central large building in the middle. It's got the big tennis or big golf ball in the middle. And then it's got all the businesses and the buildings that kind of like cram around the foot of it. Yeah, I could see that.
Definitely the most circular of all the parks. There's kind of a little bit of a radial design there. Although for me, this is the one that's the hardest to get around. Mm-hmm. So think about that transportation, all those new ideas of Wedway movers and such. But the actual Epcot, you just do a lot of walking.
It's a lot of walking.
So much walking.
There's no Wedway movers over there.
No. Why don't they have moving sidewalks or something? Yeah. The thing I don't like, I love this park, but the giant lake. Like, once you start around it, there's no... You can't, like, I've decided to not continue around this lake. You either go all the way around or you backtrack. Yeah.
Drink around the world.
Yeah. Okay. Road trip. We're going there, too, next, apparently. That's going to be good. So after he passed away, unfortunately, they didn't move forward with that concept, and then they kind of took what he had come up with and repackaged it for entertainment. Is that how it kind of leaned into that? And they're like, no, but we're going to do this thing over here, and we're going to call it something different, but no dome.
That's my understanding. It's really a marketing ploy. That vision.
I think there was
really
an idea
the through
there.
Line. It was, let's
what
do something
do
different.
This?
Yeah, let's name it Epcot. Because, and for those of you that are interested, there's some great coverage. So Walt actually shared this vision on his television show.
Right,
so
I remember that.
National television show. Mm-hmm. So he was basically marketing to America, here's this cool new Disney World.
Right.
And at the same time, he was marketing this idea of Epcot. Mm-hmm. So the name was out there. People actually had seen it on one of the three channels that they could watch back then. So believe it was a marketing ploy when Epcot did open in 82 to carry that name through because it had the cool factor. And I guess like Ian said, people would love to check it out.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. And in fact, in terms of checking it out, if you think of cities of the future and those design ideas, one of the boldest interpretations today is the line in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever heard of the line?
That's going to be crazy. I cannot believe they ever broke ground on that, much less they're actually working on it. That's nuts.
Yeah, to me it's the exact opposite. So not a radial city with transportation center, but actually building an entire city on a much grander scale
than this.
Truly in a straight line.
It's insane.
Line. So think Wedway people movers and high-speed trains and things just literally going back and forth linearly in a line. But already there's huge amounts of problems with that project. So
I can't see that going real well.
Yeah, hundreds of billions of dollars. I'm sure at some point trillions of dollars to build this. Out in the desert, and really just like we were saying earlier, you have to attract businesses and attract people, and people actually have to want to move here. And so they've broken ground. They've sunk a huge amount of money into this, but they're really struggling with getting that even flywheel going to be able to build an entire city. So the jury's out on this one, but if you're interested in living in the city of the future, the city of tomorrow.
I don't think it's going to get built, but they are already spending a lot of time and money on it. It's one of those Middle Eastern projects that pop up there. It's just like, instead of this, let's just do what the Joker did and just make a big pile of cash and set it on fire. I mean, honestly, I think it's a gamble towards the future of, you know, if they run out of oil.
Exactly.
It needs to be like, we have to take the time right now to make it a thing that's going to be awesome 50 years from now. So that
totally different motivator. Yes,
right, exactly. Totally different.
Who are dreaming of these things? You've got some that it's purely financially motivated. I'd say Walt, it was really, he was a dreamer. He was interested in the future, and it wasn't just the future of theme parks or movies, and that was really his motivation.
I think he envisioned a better world, this was better for everybody. You know, I don't think he even really envisioned any crime in this community.
Yeah, that's fascinating. No
big oversight, I think. I mean,
you think it's going to happen? There's going to be crime.
Yeah.
Even in the future.
Well, you can't change human nature, you know?
Yeah, so
if you have a flying car and I want your flying car and I can kill you to get your flying car, like, honestly, you're not going to change people's opinion until it gets to be Star Trek and everybody's rich and
that
nobody
future.
Wants for anything, you know, which I could see coming. I could see that happening.
Okay, that
could
see.
So
that
I wonder what his plan was for crime. How was he intending to deal with this? Was this all going to be kind of like at the park? Everything's underground. You just don't see it.
Everybody dies when you're 30, so there's no crime.
And Greg, what is that reference?
I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm looking at the Google map of the line, and you can see they've done a lot of work. And they've got this entire, like, little towns built up for the workforce that is there to build it.
And I've heard some bad things going on with that. But another example, what was the motivation for these people to create that?
Right.
We even referenced with the Bauhaus. I think that's a group of people that they thought they could create a better society almost out of this.
Yeah, almost like a Frank Lloyd Wright thing.
Modern design elements. Yeah. And there's a positive part to that, and I think there's a dark side to that typically of it's, you know, you can't really design an entire life, or maybe we should say with today's technology and understanding of humanity, people aren't successful taking on something like that.
Yeah, and it's like you said, the top-down planning works for a while until it doesn't, and then there's something that pops up that you're like, oh, I hadn't thought about that. How do we fix that? You know?
Yeah, people don't work that way. I think the closest we've gotten to is there's actually grid systems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that didn't used to be a thing. Try driving around an old European city, and it's difficult. But
it's crazy.
The grids took effect and are being used today, but that's one of the few things, this planning the transportation routes, that seems to actually work out.
So you've got some examples here of some other projects that have kind of, they're kind of like spiritual descendants. These
descendants,
are spiritual descendants of Epcot, kind of came out of that Bauhaus Epcot style, and now they've been implemented all over the world in different, with different levels of success.
Yeah, and generally, and if folks certainly know more of successful examples, please chime in, because as we were looking at this, there weren't many.
There aren't a lot of planned communities that work well. Most of the time, it's like it ends up like midsummer. You know, it's like everybody's killing each other.
And China, I think, was doing it for a while.
Yeah, how did that work with China? Were they just planned communities because they had so many people and they were trying to deal with, like, organizing them? Is that why they came along?
Yeah, and urbanization, right?
Right.
So the big focus on jobs and industry, and, you know, transitioning away from farming. When you do that, it becomes much more dense. People have to move to the cities, so you have to accommodate them. And there's a period of time where you can just build massive complexes and high rises. But as they freed up their economy, it got into real estate speculation, and then they massively overbuilt Evergreen. If you've heard of some of the troubles with Evergreen in China, I mean, billions and billions of dollars overbuilding. Because it actually wasn't planned at that point.
Mm-hmm.
That free market and human greed got involved, and they went too far with it. So great question, Greg. Maybe if we look more broadly at where are people trying to build the city of the future? You know, why is this all happening, for instance, in the Middle East we've mentioned, or in Asia? It's pretty simple, but I see it as a combination of there's a lot of money. It takes a huge amount of financing to pull this off. And, of course, that's why the original vision of Epcot didn't come to pass. But you also need land. You're going to build an entire city. You can't just go into, you know, a country that's been developed for thousands of years and plop an entire new city. So you get swampland in Florida, like Ian said. You've got desert.
Right.
You've got areas in Asia that are open for development. So it's that combination of a lot of money and a lot of open land is where you see people still trying this today.
Yeah, and I think with the Palm or any of the other big developments like the Line, you've also got a like almost like a top-down government that's in charge and can be like, this is the thing we're going to do.
Yeah.
Hope you're on board with it, you know, because
have fun.
Yeah, we're building a giant island chain in the middle and the water, and then it's going to look like a palm tree.
So a little more authoritarian
government. Get on board.
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't agree with this, that's fine, and we're going to cut your hand off.
The palm's a great example.
Yeah, the palm is great. Yeah,
go check it out because it has a similar feeling of this radial city, mm-hmm. spires that are moving out. For the palm, the goal was not about transportation efficiency. Mm-hmm. But I think it's really everyone gets an ocean view.
They were trying to increase the amount of shorefront property. Mm-hmm. That was the thing. And this one development has more shorefront land than the rest of Dubai put together.
Wow.
Yeah. So they were like intentional. That was the intention, was like how much. That's why it's a, like shaped like a palm, because it's like how much land. Front waterfront property can we create out of like dirt that we put in the water?
I thought they were just trying to make something look cool from space.
It does look cool from space. I think. Doesn't
so the
it?
Picture here is like a palm frond, but what you've actually got is what, maybe the veins in the frond. So think of it as fingers coming out of a central spire. Each of those individual fingers all have apartment complexes and homes that have this waterfront property. But that's crazy, Greg, that they packed that much into such a small space. That's pretty interesting, though. That's a different take. Now it's something that everybody wants, right? Everyone wants to have the great view and to be on the water. And so I could see that commercially being more successful. And I believe they built this one over time, too.
Yes.
That you can build one finger and then the next and the next. And
this whole thing at once.
Did they build the you know, if they filled it all up once, they build the houses, too?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they built this ring first out here. As a breakwater.
Yeah, you'd have to have that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then they could build all this stuff in here and take their time. Because if you tried to build, once you, like, that, I mean, once even when you're trying to build something like that breakwater, it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to keep dumping concrete and rock and dirt into the water until the ocean relents.
Epcot had the exact opposite. You had to get all the water out.
You had to get the water out.
You're doing the opposite. But so, yeah, it sounds like this is actually a pretty close example of a city of the future that was planned and built out and has been successful.
Yeah. This is Palm Jumeirah, which they built first, and it sold out. And then they built another one over here that was bigger, which I don't know the name of that one. Jebel Ali? That's the other. I mean, so obviously, the first one must have.
Well, we're right back to Walt's vision, right? You've got one, and then
we built another one 20 miles away.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's amazing. Okay, so
but this
some
is,
of the vision came to life. Such a great way to wrap this up. When we talk about retrofuturism and mm-hmm. these dreams of the future in the past, it's great to think about what about today's? Or is this an idea that is destined to come? Maybe its time hasn't come in yet. It's destined to come. Or this is one of those historical, you know, alleyways or dead ends overall. And Greg, what do you think? Are the planned cities of the future, is that part of our destiny or is it a dead end?
I think that's kind of the direction things are going in. I really do. It seems like people want to be to have things as structured as possible lately, and to be able to get to that's the whole concept of the 15-minute cities. Have you heard of that? Where everything you need in your entire life is within 15 minutes of you. And also a lot of these metropolitan areas that are more urban are going away from cars, you know, like you were saying with the pedestrian plaza. And they're like, oh yeah, like they're doing that in Troy. Apparently they're going to have that. The main circle that we drive around now is mm-hmm. going to be pedestrian, and then all the traffic's going to be on the next block mm-hmm. out, and you won't be able to drive in the middle. I feel like that's kind of the thing that's happening. That and a lot more green space seems to be what people are into.
Yeah, so definitely some components that are
planned
come to life and continuing the forward. How about you, Ian?
I think I agree with Greg, but I think it's going to take a long time to get there.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's going to take a long time to get there, and I think. I mean, I'm not sure what it's going to take to really get us there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's going to take some major catastrophe, or is it going to be economical?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Tokyo getting destroyed, and then they're going to rebuild
Godzilla.
Tokyo.
That's
Godzilla.
Like
Godzilla may do it. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, but then I've also seen pushback on that, where, like, zoning, like, is kind of, like, not as exciting as it used to be. People don't want it.
Not as exciting as it used to be.
People don't want things like top down, you have to do this here, you can't do it there. I hear a lot of that too.
Yeah, exactly. And that's maybe also part of where in the world are they trying to do this, and what does freedom mean versus having a planned life and a planned community to be built out. My take's pretty similar, which is there's some really great ideas that Walt had for Epcot that you have seen come to pass and seem like trends that are continuing. But the overall idea that, you know, especially in the U.S., we're going to build an entire city, rigid, everything's planned out, everything you do and where you live and where you go and where the school is just something that isn't aligned with our culture, and people are going to reject it. And certainly at scale, maybe you can get one, you can get a certain amount of people together, but at scale, it's not going to be successful. So yeah. It's not the vision of the future in the U.S. No,
I can't think of any examples of something that's happening now that is even close to that, that people are excited about.
Yeah.
I mean, like the Big Dig when they did that in Boston, like they took elements of that. They buried all the streets, all the roads, everything was under, and then they added a lot of green space and they made it pretty. But they're not like deciding who's going to live where or anything like that. They were just taking an urban blight and cleaning it up and making it look as nice as possible based on some of these kind of like underground transport and that kind of thing.
What I love that you said that people are excited about, that's a key piece, like the line.
Right.
Are people excited about that? No, I think this is government effort for certain reasons, but it's a good measure. I think we talk about retrofuturism. It's a good measure. Is this, you know, you have to at least have people excited about, you know, the opportunity, the technology, whatever that's coming next, and the fully planned city of the future. Other than some cool science fiction movies, I don't know many people that get excited about that and actually would want to live in one. All right, well, thank you, everyone, for joining us in our first episode where we talked about the experimental prototype city of the future. And next time you go to Epcot with the family, you can understand the vision that Walt had. And I think we've all agreed that there are some really good elements to that. But at the same time, his original Epcot is not going to come to pass.
No. And I don't know if it ever would have, even if he'd lived. I don't know if it would have been a thing, because that's like deciding we're going to build the New York World's Fair in the middle of a swamp.
See, I think he would have built it.
You think he would have built it?
I do. I think
and then it would have failed miserably?
And I think that's one of the things, you know, you think about why it didn't happen was because Walt died.
Right.
And Walt had the vision, and he was the guy that could raise the money.
Yeah.
Right? He could go and talk to these companies and investors and get them excited about his vision.
Yeah, that is true.
And it's, I think he would have pulled it off.
It's hard to get people excited about somebody else's vision. Unless you're the guy that's like, oh, no, we're going to do this.
Yes. All right. So parallel universe, different timeline. There, the Epcot actually happened the way it was envisioned.
Then we're going.
And we're going.
Good. I'm there.
Awesome. Well, thanks, everybody. This is exciting. I like this. This is good. And we've got lots of ideas for future episodes. I see several. You've already done the work.
All right. Let's tune in.
Look at you. You're good. Awesome. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us.
Thank you.
Signing off.
Welcome to the Spectre Sisters, your portal into the unexplainable,
the unknown,
and the undeniably strange.
Whether you're a skeptic, unbeliever, or just along for the ride, Spectre Sisters is your go-to hub for everything weird, wild, and wonderfully unexplained.
So light a candle, keep your mind open, and remember, not everything strange is supernatural.
But some of it just might be.